51, then Jesus said to him, I assure you and most solemnly say to you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. You may be seated. And good morning. And I want to say, whether you're a member of this Franklin family, whether you are a visitor, a virtual guest, I'm grateful that God has brought us together for yet another opportunity for worship, praise, and fellowship among those that be the saints of God. We're going to go to Mark chapter 4 this morning, and we're going to park there basically in Mark chapter 4. And my invitations for you to join me there is these verses will serve as a context for today's lesson, Crossing Over. Sometimes you go to scriptures and you look at them with fresh eyes, and God blesses your life as a result of looking at them with fresh eyes, because repetition is your best teacher, as I've been told. I've been taught a lot by reading and rereading and reading over again. Sometimes when you read the first time, you don't get the same understanding as you have read it at this particular point in time. So Mark chapter 4, look at it with fresh eyes, lesson titled, Crossing Over. Now I want to say that the year 2025 has been a wonderful year. And God doesn't look at years as we look at years. God counts a year as a day, 1,000 years as a day. And I want to tell you that 2025 has seemed as it was just a day in time that will soon be no more. But I got to tell you that as we cross over in the year 2026, I want to tell you that I'm grateful for this congregation, for the people that make up this congregation, and how we become through 2025 a body of people that have come together more in love and spirit and heart than we have on the previous years. I got to tell you that I really appreciate the fact that those who have called in their times of trouble and distresses, those who have called in their times of triumphs, the little wins that we celebrate together, I appreciate you allow me into your life to do those things as well, to celebrate with you and to pray with you and to be for you what God would have me to be. Amen. And I've got to tell you that you've been the same thing to me as well. And want to continue to encourage each other as we move forward into 2026, as we cross over from 2025 to 2026 as a church, as 431 Franklin Street, as one body in Christ, doing those things that God has called us to do. And I'm encouraged by your spirit, by your presence. I'm encouraged by your love and by your prayers and all things. For we have come to know each other, in my mind, to my own idea, today better than we have known each other on yesterday. And if 2025 is just a day, then we look forward to the day that is tomorrow, 2026, as we move on in Christ towards bigger and better things for that year that he has in store for each and every one of us. So let us pray and be thankful for those things that he's brought us thus far as we look forward to the future, that hope that we have in Christ, that he'll bring us over to the other side. We'll cross over together and be with God forever. Amen. Amen. I'm going to give you a little background about the Gospel of Mark before we start. The Gospel of Mark is revealing to the world who Jesus really is. We see through the Gospel of Mark his power over unclean spirits, diseases, and sickness. We see that it shows the world that he has come to heal. Amen. We've listened to his parables, and those parables are intended to challenge his audience as much as they're intended to challenge us as well. Not only that, but to reveal what kind of heart those who are listening to him possess. To reveal the kind of heart those who listen to him are possessing. In the book of Mark, we find Jesus declaring his power over Satan. He says, I'm coming to bind the strong man and plunder his goods as he casts out demons and unclean spirits. Amen. Mark is showing us through his narrative that Jesus is the great I Am. He is the God of heaven and earth, and that the kingdom of God is as well. It exists. And that he brings to us those things that we can't even think or imagine when it comes to blessings being in Christ. Amen. Mark 35, verse 35 through 41, it shows us another amazing picture of about who Jesus is. And we've looked at this time and time again. But again, I want to look at it with fresh eyes, because sometimes we see things when we read over those things that we have read over before that we hadn't seen in the past. So in that narrative, we're told that evening had come and Jesus desires to cross over to the other side, the Sea of Galilee. And it says, let us cross over the Sea of Galilee. And what I want you to understand is he doesn't say, let me cross over. He says, let us cross over together the Sea of Galilee. And that still stands today, because some people want to do things on their own. They claim to be a Christian, but they want to do things on their own. Jesus says, let us cross over together. So he leaves the crowd and takes his apostles with him, and they get in this boat. And archaeology has found mosaics of Galilean boats around the Sea of Galilee in the first century. They dug it up, and this is what they found. Is it a typical fishing boat had about a 15-person capacity? It was 26 and a half feet long, 7.5 feet wide, and 4.5 feet high. Imagine that. 4.5 feet high. And then a problem arises in Mark chapter 4, 37 and 38. The Bible says, and a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. A great windstorm arose, and the waves are breaking into the boat, and the boat is filling with water. That situation gets bad real, real quickly. It's a dangerous situation. Listen, we in this boat that's only 4.5 feet high, and the boat is filling up with water. Sometimes we find ourselves in challenging situations like that as well. We only want to do things superficially. And when times come where the troubles and tribulations start to fill up our boat, what do we do then? What do we do? Verse 38 tells us that Jesus is asleep on the cushion in the stern of the boat. And this is not some kind of cruise ship where he's many decks down sleeping, because the stern typically had a small place for a person to sit. So you can take a cushion and put it under where you're sitting and have a little shade from the sun. So I don't want you to think in this story that Jesus is on the lower deck somewhere just sleeping. But I don't want you to miss what Jesus is doing as well. The Bible says that Jesus is sleeping. It's the only time we read about Jesus sleeping, and we have to appreciate this, because he was just like us in the flesh, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. He was like us in the flesh. He was tired. He had just got finished teaching all day long. And he says, let's cross over to the other side. So the water is coming into the boat. There's a storm raging around him. And Jesus is so tired that he's falling asleep in a dangerous time, in a dangerous situation. We ask all the time, how can you sleep through this? There's a lot of things in our lives that we sleep through, sometimes with our eyes wide open. We know the danger. We know the situation that we're in, and we know the situation that we've caused, but in our own hearts and minds, with our eyes wide open, we sleep through things that we shouldn't be sleeping through. Amen. But this situation is so dire. The disciples say to Jesus in verse number 38, they says, they woke him up. Don't you care that we are dying? Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? So why do they ask that? Because these men are professional fishermen. They know the ins and outs of the sea. You know, the ins and outs of that boat. They're not like me. Who, if I was in a boat in the middle of the sea and a storm arose, I wouldn't have no idea what to do. I could swim, but I can't swallow all that water, I can tell you that. I wouldn't have no idea. These men are professional. They know what to do. The Sea of Galilee is really large, and it's not even possible for them to even swim back to the shore. About 8 miles wide, 13 miles long, the Sea of Galilee is. So I want you to notice what these men tell Jesus in this particular time. They wake him up, and they don't say, listen, we're in trouble. Things are getting a little bit tough. They wake Jesus up, and they say plainly, we are going to die. We're about to die. The wind is howling, and the waves are breaking into the boat. Water is everywhere, and we are going to drown in this sea. You know what the text says in verse 37? It calls it a great windstorm. A great windstorm has arisen. A lot of us have these things in our lives where storms arise in our lives all of the time. And troubles, they fill our hearts and our minds. They fill our spaces, and we just don't know what to do. And then in times of trouble and distress, then it's time for us to wake God up. And we go to wake him up in the middle of our storm. Amen. But what Jesus does is amazing to me when he wakes up, because he doesn't just wake up and start bailing water out of the boat. He doesn't try to take the sail and turn it in a different direction to get away from the storm. He's not even panicking like the others. There's no fear in him at all. So he rebukes the wind, and he says to the sea, peace. You remember that story? He says, I need you just to be quiet, and I need you to calm down, sea. He says, peace, be still. And the wind stopped, and there was a great calm, the Bible says. There was a great calm. Imagine that. Imagine that. When things seem to be right in your life, sometimes you find yourself in a calm. But that's not all, because we find that the wind was howling and the rain was coming down. The waves was breaking in the boat, and the boat was filling with water, and suddenly, all of a sudden, the wind just stops. Ever been in a situation like that? You've been filled with trouble day after day after day after day, and another day comes, and all of a sudden, it's just, and you say, man, it's over already? It stops. The sea goes flat. Imagine what they are seeing and what they are saying now. They're looking at Jesus, and it says, even nature obeys this man. He speaks, and the creation responds. Who then is this man? Who is this man? So he addresses them in verse number 40. Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith? Then 41 tells us what the disciples are feeling and what they're thinking. They were filled with great fear and said to one another, who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? No. Sometimes we don't fully understand the situation we're in. Sometimes we don't fully understand who we're walking with or who we're with at all when it comes to serving God. Sometimes we don't fully understand Christ in our lives. There's something that the disciples don't fully understand that Jesus is teaching in this moment. Who is this man that even the sea and the wind obey him? Isaiah 15:2 describes the Exodus and the parting of the sea and the Israelites as they come out of Egypt. God rebukes the sea and he dries it up. Listen to Psalm 89, verses 8 through 9. O Lord God of hosts, who is mighty as you are, O Lord, with your faithfulness all around you. Rule the raging of the sea. When its waves rise, you still them. Amen. Psalm 107:23. Some went down to the sea in ships, doing business on the great waters. They saw the deeds of the Lord, his wondrous works in the deep, for he commanded and raised the stormy wind, which lifted up the waves of the sea. They mounted up to heaven, they went down to the depths, their courage melted away in their evil plight. They reeled and staggered like drunken men and were at their wits' end. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He made the storm be still. Now, this is the book of Psalms we're looking at, right? He says he made the storms be still, and the waves of the sea were hushed. peace, be still. Just calm down, just be quiet. And then they were glad that the waters were quiet, and he brought them to the desired haven. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man. We find ourselves sometimes in situations that we simply cannot control. Find ourselves in situations sometimes that we really don't want to be in. But God delivers us to our desired haven. He allows us to cross over, because in the beginning he said, let us go to the other side. He's not ever leaving you out. Ever. And too many times we endeavor to do things on our own and we never include Jesus with us. We say, let me go do it. We don't take Jesus along with us, but the Christ says, I'm taking you along with me. We're going to cross over to the other side. We're going to do it together. Together. And that's how it ought to be. If you hadn't done it in 2025 and 2026, you ought to cross over with Jesus. Let him carry you from point A to point B. You can't do it all yourself. You never have been able to do it all yourself. And if you've tried, it's been a great failure. Great failure. There was a great wind that came along. And after the great wind, there was a great calm that came along. And the scripture says that they were filled with great fear. But this is not the end. Because what would we expect them to do? What would we expect them to say? You know what? He calmed the storm. He stilled the seas. And the disciples, they don't go up to him and hug him. They don't go up to him and say, you know what? I woke you up and asked you if we're going to have, but I know you really do care. Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? And after everything stops, see, they don't go hug him. They don't hug him. They're not even filled with hope that Jesus does care about them. The message of this event is not that at all. Because if I let it end here, it would misrepresent what Mark is trying to say. The message is not even a comparison to what Jonah went through, because there's no comparison. At the end of verse 41, the account ends in verse 41. The event ends with the disciples. The Bible says they are filled with great fear. Great fear. So why are they afraid? Why are the disciples afraid? There's nothing going on anymore. There's no more trouble. The great windstorm is now replaced by a great calm, which leads the disciples to a great fear. Why are they afraid? The wind has stopped and the sea has calmed. Why are they not filled with relief? I know that's what I would have been. With relief. There's still water in the boat. Our feet are still wet. But there's no more storm. Oh, man. Thank God for that. We can get this little water out the boat. We good now. Thank you, Jesus. There's not any of that. The Bible says there was great fear. They're not filled with relief. They're not filled with joy. It says that they are afraid. They're afraid. Why? Because at that moment in time, they realize that they're in the very presence of God himself. Who then is this man? Who is this man? Listen, this ought to always be the reaction when we realize that we're in the presence of God. Isaiah, when he was in a vision of God's presence, is filled with fear, recognizing his own sinfulness. Ezekiel falls on his face with the vision that he sees at the throne of God. Daniel falls on his face in the presence of God. The apostles, Peter and Paul and John, they all fall down before the Lord Jesus at various times in their lives. Amen. The nearness of God in our lives sometimes is unsettling to us. It's unsettling. It's not reassuring. It becomes terrifying for us because of our own sin. We don't want to see the presence of God in our lives at all. We want to be able to say that we did it ourselves. And once we do it and it's all right with us, we say, thank you, Lord. But we never brought him to cross over with us. Fear makes faith possible. Fear, as it defined as reverence, it makes faith possible, because fear is going to always lead us to faith. And that's what's happening at this moment in the boat. Understanding who has come near to us will create faith in us to help us understand that we need Jesus to help us cross over. Amen. Some of us have had a bad year. We've had triumphs, tribulations. We've had losses and we've had gains. We have births and we've had deaths. We've lost jobs and we've lost jobs and we've lost jobs. And some have gotten jobs. And we've lost friends and we've lost friends, and some of us have lost friends in 2025. And some of us, even as we sit right here, 2025 has dashed our hopes. But God has never left our side. He was still there, and he's still there now. He says, let us cross over together. Amen. He didn't say, I'm a crossover by myself. We are his disciples, and he's asked us as well, listen, let's cross over together to the other side. Because you faced a lot of wind. You faced a lot of rain. You faced a lot of tribulation. And times were trying in our lives. But understand who I am. When you come near to me, have the reverence to know who I am, that I am God. Amen. God. The Israelites, as they were being saved from Egyptian slavery, they saw that God was who he said he was, as the sea decided to part. Exodus 14:30-31. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day from the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. That's deliverance. That's our salvation. Dead on the seashore. They saw the great power that the Lord used against the Egyptians. So the people feared the Lord, and they believed in the Lord and in his servant Moses. What about us and our reverence to God? Do we fear God for anything at all? Anything? And I know I feared my mom more than anything else. And she didn't have to be in the room. She could just get on the telephone and that was it. She would crush me. She'd say those two words, you better. And that was it. And it wasn't so much fear as being afraid of punishment. It was reverence. It was respect for who she was. And too many times we want to fear, but we don't have any reverence or respect for who God is, but we call on him all of the time. Most of the time we call on him when we're in the middle of a storm. Amen. When everything is raging around us and beating all around us, we call on him then, not realizing that he is God who can take us to the other side. That kind of fear produces faith. It produces faith. We can have faith in God and desire for us to have in him until we come into his presence and understand who he is. Who he is. I mean, he's crossing the sea like in Exodus. He's rebuking the sea and it obeys him. He declares his power and his lordship over heaven and earth, doing only what God himself can do. All the creation listens to God except man. Everything out there obeys the voice of God except man, yet we call on him constantly to deliver us. Why? Because we are disobedient people. We hear and we don't hear. We have to know. He says, you be still and you know that I am God. Amen. Knowing that Jesus come near to us and we hear with Jesus, it has to change everything about our life. It has to change everything about our life. Paul said in 2 Timothy 4:18, the Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. Do you believe that? Do you believe that God is going to do that for you? Amen. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. This is what Jesus came to do. He came to rescue us from every evil deed and to bring us over to the other side and to refresh us. He's come to do this, and he's our hope. And what we need to do is understand the immense power of who Jesus is in our lives. How he rules over all nature and creation. And he can still, even today, command the wind and the waves to stop. And they're going to listen. But can he command us? Can he ask us to do anything according to his will? And will we stop and do it? Now, we got to think about it first. We got to question it first. He says, repent and be baptized, everyone in the name of Jesus Christ. Well, I got to think about that, Brother Colin. Think about that first. Right? He says, give and it shall be given to you. Amen. Good measure, pressed down. Oh, wait a minute. I got to think. Give. Oh, I don't have nothing to give, Brother Colin. He says, love one another. I got to think about that, Brother Colin. But he turns around and he tells the wind to be still. And it obeys. Amen. The wind. Fear and reverence will lead to faith because Jesus exhibits his power and proves to us that he is near to rescue us from anything in our lives Amen. That we find ourselves in. He's going to rescue us from our sins and he's going to bring us home with him. We're going to cross over to the other side and we're going to be home with the Lord. Amen. We've got to believe that he's going to bring us home. We've got to believe that. Because he has power over everything and everyone. He has that power. Amen. We don't have it. We think we can do any and everything. And every day is ours. But it doesn't belong to us. What is your life? But a mist or a vapor appears for a little while and then it just disappears. It's almost the end of 2025. And we know full well that everybody that's living today is not going to make it to 2026. Watch out, not going to make it. God is in power. He reigns and rules our lives. He has promised us, and even in death, if we belong to him, if we are his people, that we will cross over Amen. Into eternity with him, to live forever with him. And you've got to believe that. That's right. And we've got to stop living superficial lives. Stop living in a boat that's only 4.5 feet high. And all of our problems in this life are just filling up the boat. And we can't even move out of the way from the problems. We're not even trying to bail the problems out. Sometimes we sit and we stew in those problems because we feel like we have the answer. Sometimes we go to sleep on the problem because we think we have the answer. We never think to call on God until the problem gets to be over our heads. And then we start to call on God. Wake up! Wake up! It's like we wake somebody up when the house is on fire. Wake up! The house is on fire. What am I gonna do? Let's get out of here. We gotta run. Not a fireman, right? Jesus is. He'll put out every fire that you can ever think about. Amen. Every trial, every tribulation that you can even think about. He wants to cross us over, but we have to want to cross over with him because without him, we cannot cross over. 2026 is on the horizon. Amen. A lot of people got plans. They want to lose weight. How long that lasts? About 3 weeks? You might lose a little in 3 weeks, but that's not your goal, right? Your goal is long term. Everybody want to go to heaven. Their goal is long term. But they don't have any reverence for God. Not at all. Their zeal, he says, your zeal is not according to righteousness. Zeal is like gasoline to the Christian. It runs out and we fail to fill up the tank again. We have to be zealous for the works of God and zealous for the love that he gives each and every one of us. Because no matter what we have been through or what we are going through, Jesus says, let us cross over together. Amen. Let's get out of it together. We have to fear God. He says to keep his commandments. It's the whole duty of man. And God will bring every deed into the judgment and every secret thing, whether it's good or evil. Proverbs 1, not on the board, but this is what it says. Chapter 1 of Proverbs. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. When terror comes like a storm, and your destruction comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, then they will call on me, but I will not answer. Let me read that to you again. Now, I'm talking about crossing over with Jesus. The fear of the Lord, to reverence God, is the beginning of knowledge. But a fool despises wisdom and instruction. So when terror comes like a storm and your destruction comes like a whirlwind, when the distress and anguish come upon you, then they will call on me, he says, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me, because they hated knowledge and they did not choose the fear of the Lord. Amen. How you doing with that? How you doing with that? I gotta tell you that. I'm grateful for the blessings of God in 2025. And if it's God's will that I live any longer than today, I look forward to the blessings that he has for me in 2026. Amen. Not only for me, but for those of you that are out there as well, whether you're virtual or whether you're in person here, I look forward to those blessings. I look forward to the love and the prayer and the fellowship that we're going to have with one another in 2026 at 431 Franklin as a church, as a body of Christ. So don't get weary. Well, we had some dark days in 2025, some more darker than others. Some people had more trials and tribulations than others, right? Some people had more joys and more triumphs than others. The bottom line is, know full well that God is, and he will bring you to your desired end. Amen. We've got to cross over, but we can't cross over on our own volition. We've got to cross over with Christ. Amen. It's coming. It's coming. And may God bless you to continue to be the child of God that he's called you to be. May you continue to study his word and be guided by his spirit, that the love of God might just pour into your heart, and that any distress or any pain or anguish that you might go through, that our God, the God that we serve, the God of creation, will speak to our hearts and our minds, and we will obey.
Amen.
We will obey. There's a lot of stuff out there to get into. A lot of stuff to cause us problems. But there's also a lot of good out there to get into. Amen?
Amen.
There's a lot of things that we can do to help one another that God calls us to do. And the first thing that we can do, he says, is love God first.
Amen.
And after we love God, he says, love your neighbor. How? That's where it gets hard at. Because the question comes, well, who's my neighbor? Well, I don't got to love nobody because I don't know who my neighbor is. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. You know who your neighbor is. Let's have some reverence for God. Let's not mock God by pretending that we don't know who our neighbor is, right? Love God. Love your neighbor as yourself. Let's cross over. And let's be more for God today than we were yesterday.
Amen.
Because heaven is waiting for us. It's waiting. Jesus is waiting to come back to deliver us up to the Father, this kingdom, this church, this body of Christ, the church he purchased with his own blood. And you don't want to be a member of the church and just be sitting on a pew. You don't want to be like that. You want to be proactive. You want to reverence God and allow all the blessings that we receive as Christians to come into our lives. I'm grateful again for God and for the Holy Spirit and for the Christ that has come into my life.
Amen.
And grateful for the congregation that I serve with that has come into my life as well. You've been more than I can ever think or imagine.
Amen.
You've loved me. You've cried with me. You've suffered with me. And I appreciate the fact that you allowed me to do the exact same thing for you. 2025, I had a lot of phone calls, had a lot of texts, had a lot of conversations with people in 2025. Some were good and some were not so good. But God still blessed our lives because we went in with him and we came out with him. And if we continue to do that, we will cross over whether we live in or whether we die before 2026 comes in. We're going to cross over with God.
Amen.
And receive eternal life. That's our goal. But in order to do that, there's some that don't even know who Jesus Christ is. Don't understand the reverence of God at all. And to those, he says, I need you to hear my word. Hear it. And believe that I am the Christ, the Son of the true and living God. I need you to repent of your sins. For far too long, you swept things under the rug and you called on me only when it was convenient for you. We need to repent of our sins. Confess Christ with our mouths as well as with our lives.
Amen.
We got to do better. Amen. We got to do better because the old phrase is when you know better, you better believe it.
That's right.
How you doing with that? You do better. And we have to be baptized in water for remission of our sins. Listen, got to be baptized in water. We got to have the reverence and fear of God that creates faith in us to get into the watery grave of baptism with God and allow him to cleanse us from all of our sins.
Amen.
Because we can't be with Christ if that doesn't happen. For as many as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. It comes with faith in God, nothing else. So we've stepped into that boat and the storm is raging all around us. The question is now, what are you going to do? Are you going to bring that same baggage into 2026 from 2025? Or are you going to draw yourself a fence and let God heal all your wounds?
Amen.
Some of us have had severe health problems in 2025, severe. And God has healed us because that's what he has come to do. Some have had serious sin problems in 2025. I can't even talk about it. But I'm grateful that you allowed me to pray with you.
Amen.
And to overcome that sin. Don't bring that baggage over with you to 2026. Because we don't know when the day and the time that the Lord has designated to come back.
Amen.
Don't die in your sin. Don't do it. Cross over with Christ. If we can help you do that, why don't you come and we stand and sing the invitation song.
Amen.
There's a fountain
free, tis for you. Whether you want to respond to the gospel of Christ, will you come? Will you confess Christ? Repent of your sins. Will you be baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins? Will you come?
It is the fountain of love.
Whether you want.
From the source above, and he bids us all freely drink. Will you come? Will you come to the fountain free? Will you come? It is for you and me, the thirsty soul. Hear the welcome call. It is a fountain open for all.
Good morning, church. My name is Brother Patrick Johnson.